everybody's views are it's excessive heat out there. My goodness. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Tom, the heat warning yesterday, we were talking 110, 111. Now they're saying up to 113 to 115.
Well, they're predicting 113 for the Tucson metro area. The hotter temperatures are probably out in the western desert areas. They're thinking 115 out that way. And we have right now humidity at 25%, and with humidity at these levels, that's also going to impact. And how about the dew point at 58 degrees? That's monsoon rain dew point.
Problem,
where is it?
Right. Problem is no monsoon in the forecast, at least through next Wednesday. We'll talk more about this drought situation being aggravated, and with our environmental guy, Mitch Tobin, will be with us at 12:30. But right now, it's the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, July 30th, 2020. By the way, those temperatures would be the hottest temperatures ever recorded in Tucson in the month of July. We're trying the best we can here every day to bring folks together on the radio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Let's go right to the live line. The superintendent of the largest school district in Southern Arizona, the TUSD district, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, with us on the live line. Dr. Trujillo, how are you, sir?
Doing very well, Bill. It's great to be back, and more importantly, great to be out of this vicious heat.
Yes, anywhere you can get in an air conditioning. If you're in your little office, your home office right now, I'm sure you've got the cooler cranked up as high as possible.
It is cranked up, and I got to tell you, for my next visit, I am looking forward to us getting back together in the studio.
Yeah, so, hopefully we can make that happen in your visit in early September. We have a district of 45,000 students, and there's so many unknowns right now, but the students, the parents really aren't sure what the learning environment will be. Let's use this time to talk about what we do know, Dr. Trujillo.
Well, thank you, Bill. And there, of course, have been several developments just in the last, I want to say, 72 hours, starting with the governor's latest executive order on Thursday of last week, empowering the Pima County Health Department to make recommendations about the feasibility and the safety of opening up schools physically, not just Tucson Unified, but just all the districts here in Pima County. The feasibility and the safety of being able to open up schools on August 17th, we saw the Pima County Health Department make its recommendations in a letter issued by County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry yesterday directly to all of the superintendents, saying no, that based off of local conditions here, local health metrics that have been analyzed by Pima County Health Department leadership regarding the extent to which community spread of COVID-19 is still a threat to public health, that they cannot support the opening of schools for traditional in-person learning as we know it. They can, of course, support, and they did note this in their written letter to a superintendent, they can support limited in-person on-campus services for smaller targeted groups of at-risk students. So where we are at as a district, we were planning to offer on-campus learning options for any families that wanted to request that, but we were only going to be offering access to computers because our instructional model, no matter where you're at, it's online. So all of our classes are going to be facilitated virtually via Zoom. We have bell schedules that will apply to students that are virtual or online. And we were going to open up every school in the district to any families attending that particular school that needed their kids to attend physically. Those kids would come on campus and still sit behind a computer and still interact with their teachers via Zoom, but they would get all the features of the physical attendance of school, the lunch, the recess, cafeteria, transportation. But after having received the Pima County Health Department's recommendations yesterday, feel out of an abundance of caution and in line with their recommendation that we target in-person on-campus services to just the most vulnerable and at risk, we're going to revise that plan a little bit. And we're not going to open up the entire district on August 17th. We're going to delay that. Instead, we're going to come back on August 11th at our next governing board meeting with a proposal to offer in-person services starting August 17th only for the smaller, more targeted groups of at-risk students and students that we would consider to be most vulnerable to being actually out of school in a remote environment. And that's going to be our plan moving forward. So we're going to have some more details on August 11th. But what I can say for certain right now is we're not going to be recommending the entire district open up physically for August 17th. Should be noted that the entire district will be open for business starting August 10th for remote instruction. So our first day of the school year will be August 10th, 100% totally online.
Now, my friend Danielle Camara, who writes and does a really great job covering local education, her front page story talks about, now the ball is in the court of the governor. What will the governor say about this waiver that you are now requesting? How does all of that play into this?
We've got some conflicting messages between the Arizona Department of Education and the language of the executive orders that have been issued. And so here is a sort of a situation that we're in. You've got guidance from the Arizona Department of Education saying, okay, TUSD, you guys are good. You're going to be offering on-campus options, and you're going to be offering them for a limited amount of students. You're going to be targeting those services for the most at risk. You guys don't need a waiver. But then you got the language of the executive order, and the executive order says that we shall offer on-campus learning opportunities for any families that request them, and we're not to be turning any students or families away. Enter the Pima County Health Department. The Pima County Health Department suggests, and not only suggests, recommends that we not open up the entire district to any family, any time, any place that wants to come on campus for in-person learning opportunities. So what we're going to do is we're going to file the waiver. And even though we have ADE that says, hey, look, a waiver's not necessary, we want the formality of the waiver process. We want ADE, who will be in charge of facilitating the waiver process, if they tell us through that process that a waiver's not necessary because we're compliant, that's great. We have documentation. Or if they grant us a waiver, that's great too. We will have the documentation against any possible lawsuits related to COVID-19 claims or any lawsuits that may arise of us potentially denying free access to public education, which, of course, is federal law. We must provide free access to public educational services. That's known as FAPE. So we're just going to go through this anyway. So Danielle does have it right in an article that, yeah, the next step for us will end up being the waiver.
So the regardless of whether the students actually come to a campus or whether they are at home, the instruction will be 100% online. Is that what I'm hearing?
No.
Dr. Trujillo, I think we were getting your cell phone breaking up or something. Why don't we take the break right here because we are at break time. Dr. Trujillo, call us back, and you and Tom Fairbanks, my producer, work this out. We're going to take our break in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio because this is a very important interview with Dr. Trujillo, and we need to get this to get this information out. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Thursday afternoon. We'll be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You can start planning. There's no reason why you can't start dreaming about a trip and getting away. Southwest New Mexico is the place to go to look at what's available as far as places to stay and things to do. So check it out for your trip. Hopefully it won't be that much longer before the land of enchantment will be welcome and encouraging Arizonans and really anybody from out of state that is not a New Mexico resident to visit really a beautiful area of the United States. We continue with our discussion with the TUSD Superintendent, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. And Dr. Trujillo, so let me clarify, all of the instruction will be online, whether a student comes to a physical location or not. It will be online. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, Bill. We wanted a model that would be flexible for ever-changing conditions. And one of the things that we did not want to do is run two separate instructional models and face a nasty flu season that collided with COVID-19 and then have to shut the district down and then have to teach our teachers a new online model. So we wanted one model we would teach one time at the beginning of the year. Now, as our teachers come back for their in-service week, that's going to work no matter where students are, no matter where teachers are, that will be flexible. And I want to be very, very clear. This is not my favorite model.
Right.
I certainly am no fan of computerizing or digitizing the educational experience. I don't think that there will ever be, now or in the future, anything technologically or otherwise that will ever replace the magic that happens when students and teachers are together in a classroom. The relationships that develop, the relationships that blossom, and the relationships that influence lives, I don't think that'll ever be replaced. This is a short-term pandemic model, and we're looking to get out of it as quickly as possible. We're looking to examine the data that the Pima County Health Department has put together, the metrics, and we've been looking at that on a weekly basis to make the transition back to traditional in-person instruction as quickly as possible.
There will be no athletics this fall. Will there in high school sports in Arizona, as far as you're concerned?
Well, I can tell you that Pima County Health Department recommended the postponement of fall sports indefinitely, and we're going to honor that. So at this time, we have not canceled fall sports, but they are definitely postponed. I will say that I'm committed to not offering fall sports until our traditional in-person instruction is back. I think we have a responsibility to get the academic classes going again and get regular school back before we offer the fall sports and, you know, run them as usual. So that also was memorialized as a recommendation from Pima County Health Department yesterday.
How about at-risk students, at-risk economically? Couldn't they go to a school to get a lunch?
We are definitely looking at, when I talked earlier at the beginning of the interview, we're having some discussions about what are we going to deem as at-risk. And some candidates right now, of course, high needs of special education students. We have several students that are wheelchair bound, some of them quadriplegic, some of them susceptible to seizures. Many of them are mute, sight impaired, hearing impaired, and wheelchair bound. And these are really, it's a category of students that literally require round-the-clock care all through the school day to feed themselves, for personal hygiene issues. And this is a category of student that doesn't encompass the whole of special education. It is a category of special education that we're looking at. We also have some of our lower functioning autistic students that don't do well outside of the structure of school that we might be looking at. TUSD also has over 1,000 students that are classified as homeless through the McKinney-Vento Act. This is a category of students that we are looking at also for prioritizing for on-campus support services. So these are just a couple of candidates, and then we also might be looking at our extremely impoverished students that, and I think they cross over because a lot of those students are McKinney-Vento Act / homeless students. We are looking at students that are in foster care or that are wards of the state. So right now, those are some candidates for some possible classifications of students that we'll be talking about publicly with our governing board on August 11th.
Will every student have a computer that needs one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is our commitment to this community. We are committed to providing every single family, and not just family, because that was an issue in the spring. We made a commitment that we were going to give every TUSD family a computer. But the challenge we discovered very quickly is deeper. We have families that have several students in one home. So we have families with two or three or even four students attending our school. So now our commitment is every TUSD kid gets a computer that needs one. And the downside to that, the challenge that we're experiencing, Bill, and I've spoken about this, and I'll keep banging the drum, is challenges with the supply line. The supply chain in this country, from everything from computers to toilet paper to paper towels, antibacterial soap, has been extremely taxed and strained. And in the example of the Chromebooks that we ordered, our governing board recently approved the purchase of an additional 10,000 machines, 10,000 laptop computers and iPads, to be able to make sure that every TUSD student has one. Well, we're not going to be able to get all of those devices in the month of August. We probably will not be getting all of those devices in until the second or third week of September. So yes, every kid will get a device, but it's not going to be here in time for the first day of school on August 10th.
Why did you decide to go ahead with that August 10th? Had you thought about maybe opening up September 15th?
Well, the reason we have to start August 10th, and I'll just be very honest about it, is the Arizona State Legislature has still not taken the appropriate action around modifying the 180-day school calendar requirement that's embedded in statute. Now, that's not the governor's purview. I know there's a lot of scrutiny on Governor Ducey right now, but in all fairness, this is a function of the legislature. And they knew about this issue way back in April when they chose to adjourn early. This is a huge issue that they could have taken action on for this pandemic year. They did nothing. So now TUSD, just like Flowing Wells, just like Sunnyside and every other Southern Arizona district, we're trapped into starting the school year now, because we're responsible for exactly 180 days. And if we don't get those 180 days in, as we've calendared them out, and we start the school year later, like September 15th, that means all of our employees and all of our teachers are now working deep into June. We're disrupting their contracts. We're disrupting their pay periods. We're adding days to their contract. It's going to cost us millions of dollars. And not to mention disrupting family plans. So we're trapped into getting our 180 days in. We had been given the flexibility around the 180-day requirement by this legislature, yeah, absolutely, we could have been able to start in September, and it would have been a better option for us.
Well, thank you for clarifying that. So the ball is in the court of lawmakers, and I just don't understand this. Why we have not had a special session, but that's for another topic with lawmakers to talk about things like this. I do want to bring up with you, how are you doing financially? Are you going to be, a lot of this going to be covered by the federal government?
Well, we've got a couple of different challenges, and I will say that one of the more positive features, strongest features of the executive orders that have come out, is the financial stability that it provides the district up to a certain point. So through the enrollment stabilization monies that have come out of these executive orders, the district is going to be covered up to 98% of our original budget capacity for last year. So what that means for everybody out there in the listening public, let's say that the district takes a massive hit over this, and let's say that we experience a 6 or 7% enrollment drop. Now, thankfully, we're not seeing that right now, but let's say that we do see that, a 6 or 7% enrollment loss. Because of the enrollment stabilization feature of the executive order, we would be able, say in a situation where we lost 7%, we would be able to be reimbursed 5% of that 7% hit financially. And so it caps our losses at just 2%. So I think that that's a great feature of this, of the executive order. We did receive $18 million in CARES Act money that came into the district to handle COVID-19 related expenses. But a couple of disturbing points of information. Number one, we had to turn around and surrender just about $2 million to privates and charter schools inside of TUSD's enrollment boundaries, only to find out that on top of the $2 million that we had to surrender to these private schools and charter schools, they also got personal payroll protection loans from the government, those PPP dollars. And some of them got hundreds of thousands of dollars on top of the monies that we had to give them.
Wow.
So we ended up getting $18 million. We had to surrender $2 million to private schools and charter schools. And that left us with $16 million, and we've already spent $12.5
million. Oh,
boy. Just to get school up and running.
All right.
To pay for the laptops and the additional custodians, the additional monitors, the instructional software, the sanitation supplies. It is just expensive.
All right, Dr. Trujillo, good luck, and we'll be checking in with you. Thank you very much. Stay safe.
Hey, thank you, Bill.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. When you're ready to make some upgrades to your garden, the place to go is Green Things, 50 years and still growing. Eventually, we will get rain, I hope. And so get your plants ready for when we finally can can have them out there in your backyard and finally get a decent rain. Green Things, 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. And of course, their wonderful collection of Talavera pottery and antiques over at their Zocalo Village, 3384 East River Road. And greenthingsaz.com, the website there, and also there is zocalovillage.com, the other website. The Buckmaster Show contributor on the environment is Mitch Tobin. He is director of a new initiative. It's called the Water Desk. It's a journalism initiative based at the University of Colorado in Boulder. Their focus is on Western water issues in the Colorado River Basin. Mitch is an award-winning journalist. He's a former environmental reporter for the Napa Valley Register, the Tucson Citizen, and the Arizona Daily Star. He's the author of Endangered, which shows why so many species are at risk of extinction. The book won a gold medal in the Independent Book Publisher Awards. Mitch joins us on the live line from his home base in Colorado. Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, we were just looking at the radar, and I don't see any rain anywhere, even deep into Mexico. It's just, this is, I think hope is quickly fading for a drought-free year in the Southwest. Boy, did we need the rain, because, as you know, we're in the midst here of for the past two decades, a drought in the Southwest. Are you getting seasonal rains at all in Colorado?
You know, we've gotten a little bit lately. We do get some of the monsoon moisture up here in Colorado, not as much as places like Arizona and New Mexico, but it does play a role in our summer weather. So last week we did have a few days that were fairly rainy, but prior to that it was very hot and very dry. You probably don't want to hear that it's 78 degrees here right now, so it's not quite as hot as in Tucson. Yeah. But, you know, we in Colorado, basically the entire state is abnormally dry or in some state of drought. And so we had a decent snowpack over the winter, but a very dry and warm spring. So that snow melted very quickly.
Yeah, April and May are so critical, and that rapid melting and runoff isn't going to do the Colorado River much good, is it, Mitch?
No, I mean, I think there's been a lot of research that's been coming out recently pointing to the fact that it's possible we're at the beginning stages of what people refer to as a mega drought. So that's a much longer drought than what we might be used to. If you look at the historical record at things like tree rings, we know that occasionally the Colorado River Basin is plunged into these very, very deep and long droughts that can last decades. Now, we're not positive that we're at the beginning of that, but we do know that for the last 20 years, it has been abnormally dry. A lot of scientists are talking about the entire region drying out, the climate changing, and having to deal with things like aridification, where just the baseline normal climate of the region is drier than it used to be.
The mega drought goes back, I think there was one in AD 800, that may have actually been the downfall of places like Mesa Verde. Anybody that's been up to Mesa Verde, it's a wonderful national park, but that might have been one of the reasons that, that place went away. So I hope we're not going into one of these mega droughts that could last as long as 40 or 50 years.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that even if you take climate change out of the equation, we know from these historical records and scientific studies that this part of the world is subject to these occasional mega droughts and really severe dry spells. But you have to add climate change on top of that, which the science is showing is going to be drying out the Colorado River Basin. And, you know, I think this winter and spring were a good example where even though we had a decent amount of snowfall here in Colorado, other parts of the basin, because the temperatures were so warm, that moisture evaporated and melted, was transpired by the trees, and it didn't lead to a very strong year as far as runoff to the river. And so clearly precipitation, the amount of snow that falls is an important part of the equation, but the temperature is also very important because it affects things like the evaporation rate, soil moisture, et cetera.
Are we going to have a problem with the basin as far as the holding cell or the holding areas like Lake Mead with the for the Colorado River? What are you seeing right now? I know you study this extensively, the Colorado River basin. What is the forecast?
Well, you know, for the last 20 years, there have been a lot of dry years, and the reservoirs along the river, especially Lake Mead and Lake Powell, the two biggest ones, have been declining. Both of those reservoirs were just about full at the end of the 1990s, but they have been going down. And so, you know, the situation prompted all of the states in the Colorado River Basin to come up with this drought contingency plan as a way to share any cutbacks that are needed, because you have this fundamental imbalance between the amount of water that's in the river and the demands upon the river in terms of what people want to use. And so people refer to that as a structural deficit. And, you know, that is kind of the fundamental challenge facing the Colorado River. And climate change is making the situation even more challenging because it's drying out the basin and leaving less water in the river. So, you know, right at this point now, we're not seeing any severe cutbacks or big impacts to places like Tucson. But the concern is that if these trends keep going over time, that we will be facing harder and harder choices. And so the drought contingency plan was an effort to try to keep those reservoir levels up and tried to avoid what would be a very difficult situation.
Well, it's certainly a challenging year for us here with this situation, with these record. We may be facing here 113, which would be the highest temperature ever recorded in the month of July. And again, very little rain. We've had a couple of rains here, but it's been very spotty. So, Mitch, I guess we're just going to have to wait for the rain to come, right?
Yeah, I guess might be a good time to do the rain dance at this point and, you know, hope for the best. But, yeah, we'll see what happens with the monsoon. But, you know, I'm also looking forward at this winter, which is even more important in terms of the flow in the Colorado River and its tributaries, which is very much dependent on snowpack. And so, hard to say at this point what the winter will bring, but a lot of people will be watching that very closely.
Mitch Tobin, thank you very much. How is your new initiative going at the University of Colorado Boulder?
It's going great. We're giving out grants to journalists and media outlets. We have a program that's accepting applications right now. It's only for journalists and media outlets, but one of the roles that we play is giving out grants and supporting journalists so that they can cover water issues, which seem to be getting more and more important by the day.
All right, Mitch Tobin, thank you very much. Have a great afternoon, Mitch. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Stay cool. Take care.
All right. Mitch Tobin, director of the Water Desk, a new journalism initiative at the University of Colorado in Boulder. They focus on Western water issues and the Colorado River Basin. Up next, Ryan Hansen. Ryan Hansen, the Buckmaster Show travel contributor. He's next on this Thursday afternoon. Be right back.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and I love to talk travel, and we're going to do so with our travel contributor on the Buckmaster Show, Mr. Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. And whether you're ready to travel next week, next month, or next year, the Bon Voyage travel experts are standing by, and they will help you create a trip of a lifetime. Ryan, how are you, my friend? Hey, Ryan. Did we lose him? Let's see if we can get Ryan back. We have temporarily lost Ryan. We'll get him back on the live line because I want to talk to him about more and more people are traveling domestically. And they're deciding, you know, they have traveled the world and seen all over. They've traveled everywhere, but perhaps they have not seen some of the wonderful national parks in our backyard. And so there are so many attractions that people are discovering right here at home. Ryan, we got you back. There you go.
I am back and ready to go. I know we had taken a break from me being on for a little bit here in the summer, but I didn't plan for it to extend even further than it already has.
No, we've got you back, and thank goodness. So much has been happening, and I know so many people, Ryan, who are discovering some of these wonderful national parks. I know that in June, we were able to check out a park that I had always wanted to see, and that would be the Redwood National Park in Northern California. And I'll tell you, it's an amazing sight. And a lot of people are deciding we want to stay closer to home.
Yeah, that's definitely the theme. And you, in your tagline, in your intro for me, you said if you're ready to travel next week, next month, or next year, we have options, and we do. And that's the key piece, is there are options for you to travel domestically. And that's what we would encourage people to do. And there's many studies out there and reporting coming back that people are ready to travel. It's just, what is your level of comfort? So if you're not ready, and in some cases, countries are not ready for Americans to traverse the ocean and come in, it's okay. There's many options. You mentioned the national parks, which we love. We can help you with planning a national park adventure, be it by car or if you're going to fly in and go into Yosemite or Yellowstone. There's some other pretty neat places across the country that might give you the feeling of being in another country, but yet you're still local. And one of my favorite spots that I've been to, Bill, not in the last couple of years, but is just north of Santa Barbara, and that's Solvang, California. So you could fly into L.A.,
love that area,
drive up the coast, and feel like you're in Denmark, which, you know this, that is my heritage. I come from a Danish background, so I feel right at home, but you are completely out of the Southern California laid-back feeling, and you're dropped right into a Danish village in Solvang, California.
That is a great suggestion. Solvang is very personal to Ann and myself because we spent our honeymoon there.
A million years ago,
we rented a car at LAX and headed north to Solvang and up to Big Sur, and one of my favorite areas in the world. That is such a neat town.
Yeah, and if you want to feel like you're headed to the lake country and the lake region of Italy and Switzerland, I mean, there are some dynamic, beautiful views and experiences in Lake Tahoe, and you can just feel like you're being transported to the Swiss Alps in that region, or just north of Telluride. There's some great places and a great summer destination in Colorado that will also make you feel like you're in the snow-capped peaks of the Swiss mountain range there, but it's the San Juan Mountains. So you got to have a little bit of an imagination and a little bit of creativity, and that's what our advisors can help you with to try to get you out and travel domestically.
You know, I know the hotel market, Ryan, but I don't know private home rentals, so I really wouldn't know where to turn. And I know that this is so popular right now. People want to do a private home rental. Can your people at Bon Voyage steer folks in the right direction?
Absolutely. There are many online options for people to look and shop and even consume on their own. The two major players in the space that most of your listeners would be familiar with would be an Airbnb or a VRBO, the Vacation Rental by Owner is what VRBO stands for. There's thousands of options out there for you. The only challenge becomes is the vetting process. If I were somebody, especially in the current environment that we're living in with coronavirus and health and safety protocols, I might be a little leery of venturing into somebody else's domicile, not knowing if they've done all the right things to prepare for my arrival from a health and safety standpoint. This is where Bon Voyage advisors come in. We have great connections in the vacation rental space, from homes to villas to beach houses to mountain cabins, that we would have the ability to work with these partners of ours that have those vetting procedures. And not to put the fear of God in someone like, oh, then I shouldn't travel at all. Take the necessary precautions, go to an expert in these areas, which would be us, to help vet these properties. And there are many of them within an easy day drive, a day trip away from the Southern Arizona region.
What about someone that is just really wants to get back on the sea? And, you know, with the cruise ships not being an option right now, is it possible if you wanted to do like a little charter thing?
That is the best option for you right now. And one of our great partners is a company that's been around since 1969 called The Moorings, and they have a collection of 400 yachts, all the way from catamarans to skippered yachts, to fully crewed yachts. So you and your family, if you have a yachting background, could actually crew your own yacht if you choose to do that. But if you're feeling like, oh, no, I don't want to work on my vacation, they have fully crewed yachts in over 20 destinations worldwide. And I would say I think half of their fleet lives in the Caribbean. So the British Virgin Islands would be a great destination for you to look at. Belize, St. Martin, Antigua, Martinique. You could get a fully crewed yacht at a fairly reasonable price. Don't get stuck on the sticker price of the overall thought of a private yacht. When you break it down per person per day with full meals and all of your accommodations, the water sports activities that come with a private yacht, this is a perfect opportunity for a family gathering, multi-generational trip. It could be a group of couples that want to go. This way, in the environment, again, that we're living in, you get the best of both worlds. You have the ability to travel, to take in all of the wonderful things that travel provides. Do it in a more safe environment with people that you are either in your home already, in your household, or that you trust. Use this private opportunity to travel now and not wait forever. And in addition, I mean, this is a great way to travel at any point in time, but you've got fully customizable itinerary options. You can tailor make your menu with the crew and get your preferred food options. The water sports activities are yours. You don't have to, quote unquote, sign up for the wakeboard, sign up for the jet ski and pay for it. It comes with it, and it's at your disposal. How much do you love that? And it gets you into places and private areas that no other ships are at. There aren't any cruise ships going now, so this could be a great option, and we've got those connections to make sure that you're not just, you know, Joe's private yacht. I'm going to rent this out for any random person. Again, this is where our expertise comes in, because we've done the vetting for you.
Are you still doing your virtual stuff on Wednesday?
We sure are. Thank you for the plug there. Bon Voyage Travel's hosting, and we just completed our 14th in the webinar series. Every week on Wednesday at 3 o'clock at Tucson time, we're hosting different partners across the globe, from cruise partners to land partners to destination experiences. And this is a 1-hour webinar, and it's all of our past webinars are hosted on our website. So that's where I would encourage all of the listeners to go if you have any interest in participating now or seeing what we've had recently hosted. Every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, bvtravel.com, that's where you go to sign up. We're going to be in August teasing you with an African safari. We've got the Los Cabos Tourism Board coming on, and some of our past experiences. Just yesterday, Regent Seven Seas Cruises was on. We had Trafalgar Tours, where this would be a guided vacation domestically for you. Lots of different offerings for you to get inspired. That so many times, Bill, you and I talk about, that's part of the fun of travel, is the anticipation, the planning, the inspirational aspect of leading up to your trip. You can still do that now, even though there's not a ton of places to go today. Tomorrow we'll be here before we know it, and we will be able to travel, and you're going to want your plans ready to go.
And quickly, are folks doing bookings for 2021 and even up to 2022 and 23?
Yeah, especially in the cruise space, Bill. Many of the cruises, as we know, are suspended through the month of September per CDC regulations. And so many of those people that were not able to cruise this year literally took their, instead of a refund, what's called a future cruise credit, and booked a future cruise for 2021 and beyond. So capacity is filling up. So I would encourage anyone that either has a future cruise credit, that even if you didn't book through Bon Voyage, we can help you with that new cruise. Or if you're thinking, hey, I want to go on a river cruise next year, should I book now? These cruise partners are finally getting consumer-friendly terms and conditions that allow you to cancel much closer to departure than ever before because of the environment, again, that we're in.
All right, Ryan Hansen, always a pleasure. BVTravel.com is the starting place to make your dreams come true. Ryan, take care, my friend.
Take care, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Ryan Hansen, the Buckmaster Show travel contributor. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Thanks, Tom. Tom Fairbanks, engineering, producing the show. I'm off to the dentist. Everybody, think good thoughts. Try to get this issue taken care of. Oh, my goodness. If you've got dental pain, you know what it's like. Have a great afternoon.